Whatever brings you here today, custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. Good morning again. My name is Katie Flynn, and I'm a member here. I'll be just up here in the beginning of worship, and then after me, you'll hear from Alicia Wood, our pastor, and we have a liturgist, and I did Sue Bates. I'm sorry, I was not familiar with the bulletin, as I should have been. We especially welcome new people to our church. If you are new, we hope that the welcome team has greeted you. If they have, or if they have not, we would like to offer a brochure at the back of the church that gives you a little bit of information about who we are and what we do. You should have your bulletin that you received when you came in this morning. There's a yellow slip inside. It serves two purposes. The first one is attendance, just so that we know that you're here and well, and that so we can greet you. And then the second side is for a prayer request. If you have a prayer that you'd like to lift up and you'd like to share it with the congregation, please fill this out, and the ushers will collect it later on in the service, and we'll let you know when that's about to happen. Your bulletin is a brief order of worship. If you're looking for something more complete, you can see a QR code on the bottom of the back page. If you have a smartphone, you can scan that and get a complete order of worship, or you can just look at the screen, because that has pretty much everything that we need on it. If you're in need of childcare or restrooms, you can find both through this door, or you can ask one of the ushers, and they'd be happy to help you. We do have a safe sanctuary policy, so we ask that all parents please stay with their children at all times while you're in the building. There's a ton of things going on in our church over the next few weeks. I have a bunch of notes, if I can get myself organized here. Next Sunday is Pledge Card Sundays. You should have received yours in the mail. So please fill that out and bring it back to church and hand it in next Sunday. On Wednesday, there's a morning prayer at 7 o'clock in the morning here at the church. So if you're interested in that, come on down. The Women's Guild is hosting a healthy and successful aging program presented by Dr. Bruce Simmons. So even though it's called Women's Guild, don't be afraid, men. You're also welcome. So come and learn about healthy and successful aging. Tonight, there's a Poor People's Campaign gathering from 6 to 8 o'clock at Hops Memorial CME Church. There's a long thing of it in the bulletin, so please familiarize yourself with that and come over if you're interested. On the 9th, the Harmony Cats will be here to sing for us. They're a barbershop choral group, and they'll be here from 7:30 to 9. And I will be selling tickets right after church, right at the top of the Peel entrance. It's a suggested donation of $10 per person. So if you are interested in music and you want to hear some good stuff, I think they're doing Broadway tunes, please come down. Every single dollar that we earn between ticket sales and concessions, every single dollar will go to area food pantries, including ours. So that's a good cause. All Saints Sunday is going to be November 3rd. You've got a handout in your bulletin, so please fill that out and hand it in by the 27th. That's next Sunday. And my last and final announcement, and then I'll get out of your hair. As you can see from our bulletin insert, the turkey tree is back by popular demand right over there, which signals that Thanksgiving and our annual Thanksgiving bag distribution is not far away. This is always a great time for us to share our bounty with our neighbors who are in need. There are several ways that you can help support this effort, and there's a bulletin insert dedicated just to that. It's a full one. There's a lot of information. If you're interested in sponsoring a specific family, please take a turkey off the turkey tree and also take a Thanksgiving greeting card from the basket and a grocery list from the basket next to the tree. You can shop for the ingredients listed and then return your bag with the turkey and the greeting card by Sunday, November 10th. If you have questions about that, you can ask me. As like I said, I'm going to be at the top of the Peel entrance selling tickets for the Harmony Cats. If you have questions about any of those, please talk to me after church. And let us continue our time of worship.
Good morning. How are we today? I'm hoping everyone is awake because when I walked in, the choir wasn't even talking. So I thought it was really odd. So I'm hoping we're all awake.
Well, welcome everyone. I am Pastor Alicia Wood. I am so honored to say that I'm the pastor here at this church. Not only do we have a food pantry for human beings, we also have a pet food pantry for our neighborhood pets. I don't have the number of pets we served in September. I think it's around 90. Does that sound right, Stark? And so we're very proud of feeding all of our friends. So we are in week 3 of our stewardship campaign, and we are combining stewardship and the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Next week, each person or family will have the opportunity to pledge what they will give to support the mission and activities of the church in the coming year. Pledges allow us to anticipate future income and create our budget with confidence. As last week's scripture reminded us, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. Today we will explore how money, when coupled with alignment of values and vision, can result in the kind of generosity that gives life not only to the mission, but to the giver. So whether you are considering pledging for the first time or moving to tithing for the first time, or you realize that your changing life circumstances challenges you to make a change in your support, we ask God to be with us on this journey as candles are lit this morning. Through it all, God is indeed our best thought and God's presence our light. Will you please sing with me, Be Thou My Vision?
Good morning. I'm Sue Bates, and I am the liturgist this morning. God is indeed our best thought. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in the call to worship. We light this flame to affirm that there is light.
There is understanding.
Where there is understanding,
there is compassion.
Where there is compassion,
there is possibility.
Where there is possibility, Holy and living God, transform our fears into awe-inspired wonder. A life full of wonder is possible for each of us, for all of us. Please remain standing and join me in singing, Great God of Every Blessing. This is new words to a familiar medley. Look around. The wonder of God is all around you. Before you settle back into your seats, take a moment to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
Will the children please come forward as they're comfortable?
To be full of love, to be full of grace, to be full of peace is a wonderful life. To be full of love, to be full of grace, to be full of peace is a wonderful life.
Please be seated. How are all of you today? Good. So today we have another baptism. How exciting, right? How exciting. And it's your sister, isn't it? Yes. How exciting. And last week was your sister, right? So how exciting. So we've been talking a lot about baptism and doing baptism, and we've been saying all these vows and I do's and I wills, and we're going to support one another. And I wanted to show you something that I have here, because I'm a little bit of a nerd. I have a t-shirt. Who can read it and tell us what it says? Okay, Eric, you tell us what it says. Come on over. What does it say?
Resenting evil, justice, and operation in whatever forms they present themselves.
Yes. It says, resisting evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Does this sound familiar? Have you heard these words recently? Yes, you have. I'm going to say, yes, you have. We say these every single time that we have a baptism or when we have a confirmation class that decides to become members of the church, or if we have new members join our church, we hear these words because this is our job as Christians and we vow to it. Does that sound really hard or really easy? Really what? Really easy. I'm glad. I'm glad you think that, Eric. This is really, I think, really hard work. Eric thinks it's easy, so I'm glad you can do a lot of good work then, Eric. This is our job, to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. So it is a hard and easy job. So what might injustice look like for any of you? What do you think injustice means or looks like? I want to see if someone else has an idea. Okay, Eric, you're up. You got all the answers. I'm so glad.
It means that something happened or something religious or about...
I have an idea. Can I share with you? Okay, so my idea is this. This to me is an injustice. Someone is walking down the hall next to someone else, and they put their foot out and that person trips. To me, that's an injustice. Is that nice to do? No, it's not nice. And so to me, an injustice happens when someone is not being nice to another person. So when our job as Christians, what we vow to all the time is that we will say, hey, that wasn't nice. Don't do that and say you're sorry. So we want to resist evil and injustice and oppression, whatever forms they present themselves. Okay, so that's just one example. And giving that example, you probably can think of some others that you might see here and there. So know that it's our job to always be sharing the good and teaching people what is good. And maybe when the person trips, it's our job to go over and help them up and then give them a hug so we can be kind to them as well. So heavy stuff on a Sunday morning, huh? Well, will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are so grateful that you are with us in all things. Be with us as we try so hard to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. It's hard work, and we need you by our side. Be with us in all we do so that we might stand up for people who are oppressed or hurt or broken, so that we can share your love in deep ways. Amen. So you all can either sit at the children's table, you can sit here because we have a baptism, or you can go sit with whoever brought you, and I would invite our family to come forward, who's coming forward for our baptism, including Ruby Hope. And if anyone wants one of these nerdy t-shirts to wear, ask me afterwards and I'll be happy to tell you where I got it. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? What a blessing today is, right? I am just so honored to be a part of this life journey. I was honored to be the officiant for Dan and Morgan when they got married, and now here we are baptizing Ruby Hope. So what a blessing and joy for all of us, including myself. So thank you. I'm honored to be a part of your life. So let's get started. Dear friends and siblings in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. On behalf of the whole church, I'm asking you all, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages and nations and races? Will you nurture Ruby Hope in Christ Church, Holy Church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself and profess her faith openly and to lead to a Christian life. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's Holy Church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Okay, and I'm asking all of you, we have a big job out here, don't we? This is important stuff. Do you, all of you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you into your care? So I want to pause for a minute. Did you hear what all those people just said? Good. You're not alone in this. You're not alone in this. So we're all together as one family, and I am honored that Ruby's going to be a part of this family now too. So remember that these people just committed to helping you and supporting you in whatever way you might need. Okay? All right. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life, light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection to make disciples of all nations, declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness and throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay, Ruby Hope. She was making eyes at me a minute ago. You ready for this? Hi, Ruby. Yeah, she's hungry. Here we go. Are you ready? Ready for this? Ruby Hope, I baptize you in the name of the Father. Ooh. And the Son. And the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So will you lay hands on Ruby or the person in front of you or near you? Ruby Hope, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through the water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now it is our joy to welcome the newly baptized. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as new member of the family of Christ. Amen. Yay. So let us welcome the newest member of our family. Yay. See all those people? They love you. So Ruby's going to walk around with someone, I don't remember who, okay, Tessa, and we will sing Child of Blessing so we all can see Ruby. Thank you.
This week, we ask if the outer manifestations of our money practices, what we do with our money, align with our courageous vision. Are we creating the impact for which we hope, or at least moving in that direction? When our practices, no matter how incremental or seemingly simple, are serving the vision, we live with a sense of wholeheartedness and wonder that energizes us, those around us, and the world. We truly live, our scripture says. The difference between the Baileys and the Potters of the world comes both in the inner and outer world. Do we reap love and generosity or bitterness and resentment? In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, George's father, Peter, who refuses to foreclose on the townspeople's mortgages when they fall on hard times, confronts the mean-spirited Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter, what makes you such a hard-scold character? You have no family, no children. You can't begin to spend all the money you've got.
And George himself later reminds Mr. Potter that how we share with others is where true riches lie.
Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him. But to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
In our scripture today, we do not hear that it is evil to have money, but what we do with that money is what makes us rich or not. Let us prepare our hearts to hear a reading from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. Tell people who are rich at this time not to become egotistical and not to place their hope on their finances, which are uncertain. Instead, they need to hope in God, who richly provides everything for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good, to be rich in the good things they do, to be generous and to share with others. When they do these things, they will save a treasure for themselves that is a good foundation for the future. That way, they can take hold of what is truly life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. I just want to talk a little bit about logistics for next week before we get into the meat of it. So next week, our stewardship campaign, our month ends, and we will be presenting our pledge cards next week. If you haven't received them already, you'll receive them on Monday, and that we ask that you pray about this and decide what you and your family would like to pledge for 2020, and we ask that you bring those pledge cards in. And it's not just pledging of finances. One side is about that, but the other side is about other ways in which you can give. And we ask that you bring them forward next week, and we're going to pray over them. So I think this is the fifth time that I'll be doing this, that I will be blessing or praying over our pledge cards. And I have to share with you the first year that I did this, I don't know if you heard it in my voice, but I began to cry because I looked at this big pot of, it was a basket, of cards, and it took my breath away. It took my breath away that people in this congregation were pledging that they would support the life of the church. And there were so many, I was blown away, and it really choked me up. So know that I don't do this lightly, and none of this is done lightly. That it really is about the life of the church. And so we're going to do that. We're also going to celebrate new members joining our family. How exciting. We have many new members who will be joining our family. And finally, we're going to bless our new stoles that we just got, and reminding us and maybe refreshing us that we are a congregation who takes our baptismal vows seriously, to resist oppression in whatever form it takes as a reconciling church. So we'll do that as well. So will you pray with me before I begin my sermon? Holy God, let this time together and the words I speak glorify you and touch someone's body, mind, or spirit. Amen. So when we first talked about this worship series, I thought to myself, how am I going to, how is this all going to come together? How is It's a Wonderful Life and stewardship all come together? And you know what, after I thought about it, I realized it's not so far-fetched. In the movie, George Bailey loses a lot of money. This spirals him down into thinking he never should have been born, and he even considers committing suicide. The angel, Clarence, leads George through the times in his life when George's love and kindness, attitude, and time were more important than money. Stewardship is all about allocating gifts, allocating our gifts, the things we value, proportionally in our home life, in our work life, and in giving. And we hope some of that giving includes our church. The movie, It's a Wonderful Life, reminds us of what we could value. Hopefully, it's not just money, but time and talents and love and kindness, attitude of justice, family, friends, and even self-care, to name a few. So now that we have thought through It's a Wonderful Life and stewardship, let's turn to our scripture. 1 Timothy is one of the disputed letters written by Paul, which means scholars mostly believe a student of Paul rather than Paul himself wrote this letter. It does give us a look at the happenings of the very early church. Ironically, one of the topics is money. Wow. It seems as though this is still a heated topic today, right? Scholar Christian Ephart reflects, quote, "It is helpful to reflect on the association of material wealth and politics within the context of the Roman Empire during the first century CE. For the most part, riches could only be acquired through continuous cooperation with the Roman administration. Those who were rich, therefore, usually supported a system that oppressed the vast majority of the population for the benefit of only a few at the center of the empire. Being a counter-cultural movement, early Christians opposed this system and envisioned a more equal distribution of material resources." End quote. Sounds kind of familiar. It's funny because as I read commentary on our scripture, scholars went right to the huge income gap today between the wealthy and everyone else, and how the wealthy need to share more. And this is so true. This has not changed much as much as we would like since the early church and early writings. But if this is our only thought on scripture, it kind of lets the regular folk, like you and me, off the hook. So don't get me wrong, I totally agree that the gap is sad and absolutely needs to change. Systematic changes need to occur so that everyone may live a life filled with the security of a safe place to live, food in our bellies, clothes on our bodies, and health care that doesn't bankrupt an individual or a family. And I'm willing to stand beside you to fight this fight of systematic change. And these are not instructions. This scripture is not just instructions for the wealthy, but all Christians. So how do we live into this? Let's not forget, both Jesus and Paul had wealthy benefactors that paid for things in their ministry. Both Jesus and Paul walked this very fine line as well. When we live in the world, we need to use the world's currency and keep our Christian values. Scholar Christian Ephart shares, the Greek term for wealth that Jesus used is mammonos. It is transliterated from the Aramaic and denotes earthly goods, yet in a derogatory sense. In the pointed saying of Jesus, the mammon appears as a false god that gets in the way of true worship of the real God. But how does this idea of truly living, or as 1 Timothy says, that way they can take hold of what is truly life, come into our day-to-day living? How about we start asking ourselves, what are things we find value in? Some might say money. Some may say time. Some may say my talents or gifts. Some might say family or friends, and some might even say myself. Can you think of anything else that we might value that we could put on this list? Yes. Church. Motivation. Networking. Guess what that electric bolt meant when I looked this up? Energy. Now here we are. First, placing value on these things and how are we actually valuing them. For example, we may love our family but not tell them enough or spend enough time with them so that they might know that we love them. Also, we could use the example of the life of the church. How are we showing we value the life of the church with the gifts we just mentioned? The bottom line is, we are Christians. Are we doing good with our gifts? Truly life, or truly living, is sharing our love, our kindness, monetary gifts, time, and our God-given talents for the greater good. We can put all our value on money, but if we just hoard it all for ourselves, even though we may feel we are secure, we are not truly living into our call as Christians to love God and love God's people. Truly living comes when we truly love and share love openly. The love of money provides temporary satisfaction, but the love of God lasts forever. And we have so much, don't we? We have so much. God loves us so much, it can overflow out of us to others through our gifts. As our scripture from 1 Timothy and the movie It's a Wonderful Life shares with us, we can't take our wealth with us in the end. At the end of our earthly lives, and after we have left this place, people, family, friends, church family, acquaintances will remember the love and kindness we shared. And as George Bailey said, well, in my book, he died as a much richer man than you'll ever be. Amen.
Feel free to be a singer or a listener as we begin our prayer time singing Thank You, Lord. If you would like your prayer request read as part of worship, please pass your prayer slip to the ushers as they come down the aisle.
Thank you, Lord.
To be in a wonderful life is to live life in wonder and in awe of the gifts surrounding us each and every day. Remember those places where you see the treasures of your life in the people and creation around you. Let us pray. Creating God, for the awesome wonders of creation, the abundant feast of family and friends, the plentiful riches of your presence among us, we give thanks. Take a moment to remember those things that are a blessing in our community. Loving God, for those things that are filled with heartbreak, too much stress and too little assurance, too much pain and not enough possibility, be with us. Take a moment to remember those things that are concerns in our community. Gracious God, for those times when our contributions bring more negativity than positivity, more resentment than forgiveness, for breaking down than lifting up, forgive us. In this silence, we open the books of our hearts and make an accounting. Already we know you have balanced the ledgers. You hold nothing against us. You forgive all debts. We are so deeply grateful, and we commit to create more good in the world. Join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So today for our stewardship moment, we will be listening to and learning from our music group. And I have no idea what they're going to do or say. And they don't, oh, okay, good, they don't either. So I'd like to welcome Amy and Danny and Corinne.
All right, I'll begin. We're just going to share with you a little about the music program here at our church. The music of this church fills me with wonder. It's such a thrill each time the choir sings, singing softly as a breeze or loud as thunder. It's such a special thrill the choir brings.
Yes, Amy, I agree. It fills my heart with glee. If it's singing you desire, then come and join our choir. Yes, Amy, we have got a special choir, and I am glad to have the chance to sing.
The back part, not the part with the money. Well, fill that part out with like 6 or 7 figures if you can. And then flip it over and on the back say, I want to join the choir, I'd like to play handbells, and I'd like to be in the orchestra. Okay?
And thank you, Danny, for all your creativity putting that together for us.
Wow, what a tough act to follow. We come together here because of the simple fact that all are welcome. We are united by our shared vision to feed God's people, body, mind, and spirit. And our offering is one way that we affirm our commitment to that vision. If you filled out the form to recognize someone that passed away during the past 12 months on All Saints Sunday, put that in the offering plate, as well as your yellow attendance slip that look like this. Let us pray together. Gracious God, looking outward, we see your world, your people, and the needs not yet met. We know that this practice of sharing what we have is what you would have us to do. Draw us ever close to the new living that is possible when we align with the courageous vision of your realm. In the name of the one whose vision of love and justice is the meaning of life, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Jesus Calls Us. Having walked with God and examining our heart's relationship to money, we commit to taking these practices out into the world and our daily lives. May we embrace God's love for true living. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 398, Jesus Calls Us.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life, wild restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. As of old the apostles heard it by the Galilean lake, turned from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for Jesus' sake. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by your mercy, Savior, may we hear your call. Give our hearts to your obedience, serve and love you best of all.
Please be seated. What a beautiful day today. A new member has joined our family. We've sung and talked about sharing, and so I'll close with this. Again, we remember the Bailey's blessing in It's a Wonderful Life. Bread. That this house may never know hunger. Salt. That life may always have flavor. And wine. That joy and prosperity may reign forever. Today we have affirmed that prosperity comes not with the accumulation of as much stuff as possible, but with the use of what we have accumulated in a way that keeps us looking out for others, being mindful of the well-being of others, and that helps fuel the movement of justice on earth. You have been reminded of these things here in this time together. Now go and do likewise in the world, for it's a wonderful life. Amen.